innocent. Completely innocent. Nailed to the cross because of you and me. We crucified him. And even with his last breath, he asked God to forgive us. This is what real love looks like. Jesus died for you and for me so that we could be saved. But this wasn't the end of his story. Death could not hold him back. He rose from the dead 3 days later, proving to the world he is who he said he is. Jesus, the King of Kings, our Savior.
We're beginning a new series. I really don't know how long the series is going to run. We're approaching Easter pretty quick, and I have some specific messages that I really want to share for Easter. And so, but we'll see how the Lord leads. I guess probably 2, 3, 4 weeks we're going to do this new series, The Hope of the Cross. And a couple things about the series. One, I want to share that this is based off of a series from Tony Evans that I've heard. And I definitely want to just let you know that this is a message that really challenges me. It's a message that I've heard it said that a preacher should never preach something that God isn't dealing with them about first. And this is a message that really, I don't know that there's ever going to be a time in my Christian walk that this message isn't a challenge for me. In football, the football determines everything in the game of football. The football determines where first downs, how those are measured, whether you get the first down or not, depends upon the placement of the ball. Whether somebody is out of bounds or in bounds, depending on when they catch the ball and where the ball is and where their feet are. With fumbles, you know, everybody's scrambling for the ball. Touchdown depends upon the ball breaking the plane there at the goal line. Everything is all about the ball in football. People fight over it. Players fight over it during the game. They rejoice over it when they get a touchdown. They try to possess it. And without a football, if you don't have a football in the game, no matter what's going on in that stadium and no matter what's happening on the field, if there isn't a football present, it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything at all. It's just a waste of time. In the same way, in Christianity, Jesus and the work that Jesus did on the cross is the main thing. And without the cross of Christ, there really is no meaning to any of this. This evening's message is titled The Centrality of the Cross, and we're going to look at Galatians 6, verses 11 through 16, if you'd like to turn there, if you have an app. Centrality, just if you're not very familiar with that word, of course, central, taken from the word central, meaning you know, at the center of everything, but centrality means most significant or most important or supreme, and the cross is certainly that. What Jesus satisfied in the way of God's wrath against sin, what Jesus satisfied in redeeming us, what we gained because of what he did at the cross is really the main thing of our existence. And without that, without the cross of Christ, there is no freedom for us. There is no power, there is no forgiveness, there is no authority that we have over anything, there's no victory for us, there's no strength, there's really nothing at all. It's like a football game with no football if we don't have the cross of Christ. Every year around Easter, I'm sure we all know you see an uptick of people who go to church services and people who are talking a little more about Jesus, and you see maybe some programs on television about the passion and about the crucifixion. And we remember what Jesus did, hopefully, and that he paid the price for our sins. And we meditate on how the cross has really enabled this whole Christian life that we have. It gives us the possibility of putting our trust in Jesus and spending eternity in heaven. But unfortunately, a lot of times I think we're tempted during other times of the year not to keep the cross at the forefront of our thinking as much as we really should. A lot of times in our lives, the cross is just not central in our daily existence. And it isn't enough for us to gather on a Saturday or a Sunday and sing praise songs. It's not enough for us to have time with prayer meetings or maybe Bible studies. You know, those are crucial things. Those are all really great things, and they're important. But if we don't spend time really contemplating and appreciating and marveling at the cross of Christ, we're missing out on something that God has for us, because none of those other things mean anything without the cross. If we leave the cross out, basically what's left is religion, and religion without the cross isn't worth anything. Without the cross, Christianity is a set of rules, a set of traditions, a set of requirements or judgments. It's an attempt at spirituality that wouldn't have any power, that wouldn't have any intimacy with God, where we wouldn't have any ability to have a victorious life in our spirits without the cross. And I think because we forget that sometimes, because we think of the cross as something in the past, and we don't keep it at the forefront of our minds, that as a result, sometimes we can live in defeat. We miss out on what the cross promises us. And because of that, we feel overwhelmed with our struggles sometimes. We find it hard to rise above our circumstances. When we lose sight of the cross, we don't fulfill our destiny as Christians. And we just don't achieve the significance in our lives that God wants us to have because we're operating in our flesh if we forget about the cross, without the power and the deliverance that the cross provides for us. There's a lot of us who live defeated lives, I think, because in modern Christianity, the cross is just not preeminent. And the power of the cross, we underestimate the power of the cross in our lives. A lot of us view it as a symbol of our beliefs, or just an icon, or something that we think about as being relevant at Easter to understand the Easter story. But a lot of Christians view the cross as a historical event, a great historical event, but an event that happened thousands of years ago and not something that brings power and purpose and meaning into their life today. I just want to lay this out, that the goal of this message really with the centrality of the cross is that we each need to learn to keep the cross central in our lives so that we can experience the peace and the power and the mercy that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, which can only happen because of the cross. In writing to his audience in Galatia, Paul urged them over and over again in one form or another. He said to remember Christ and his cross. Remember Christ and his cross. And he was saying, you know, don't look at that as just a starting point where you began your spiritual journey. Don't think of it as just a point that you've moved past now that you've understood the cross. Keep thinking on it. Keep understanding it. Keep walking in the power of what happened there. Don't forget about it. In Galatians 6, starting in verse 11, it says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh," and he's saying those who are trying to impress people with external things, with religion, "those who are doing that, they try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross." And the reason he's saying that is because in that time it was legal to be a Jew. You weren't going to get persecuted for being Jewish necessarily, but for being a Christian you would be persecuted. And so he goes on, he says, "For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh." And Paul's saying, these people want to make you look religious. They look religious because of the outward things, because of circumcision. They look religious. And Paul's saying it's not about externals. It's not about circumcision. Don't follow after them. Then verse 14, he goes on, it says, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me." He's saying, I'm dead to their opinions. They can think what they want about circumcision or not circumcision. I'm dead to their opinions. I'm dead to what they offer. And he says, and I am dead to the world, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation being born from above. And those who will walk by this rule, what rule is that? He's talking about the rule that the world has been crucified to me and I've been crucified to the world, the rule of the cross, because he's a new creation. And he says, if I walk by that rule, peace and mercy be upon those people who walk according to the cross and upon Israel, which are the people of God. The first point that I'd like us to see from that this evening is that the cross is central to being a Christian. The cross is central to being a Christian. And just like with the Galatians, Paul wants us to remember to always think upon Christ and the cross. Don't think of it as a starting point that you've left and moved on. Paul wrote to the Galatians in large letters that he boasted only in the cross. It said there in 6:14. And it's funny, you know, we've heard that so many times about the cross and boasting in the cross. And to us, that may not seem unusual, but he's talking about boasting in a device for horrible execution. I remember when I first became a Christian, I actually had a professor ridicule me. He was an atheist, because of a cross and just saying how foolish it was to wear a symbol of execution. And I wonder, you know, reading that, why would Paul say that? Why would he say, in a time period when people were being crucified, the only thing I'm going to boast in is Christ and his cross? Why do we need to be sure to keep our eyes on the cross today? Why is he reminding the Galatians? And I think the point of it is to stay on task. You know, if you're in a classroom and you're assigned a research paper and they give you a specific topic to research, and they say, go study this, and I want you to gather material and analyze it and write about this topic, and you go do that, and you work really, really hard, and you think, man, this paper is good. I've done due diligence here. I've really put it together great. And then suppose you turn that in, and the teacher gives it back, and in red ink, in big letters, there's a big fat zero at the top of your page, and something to the effect of, great work, great research, wrong topic. That you wrote about the wrong thing in your assignment. You researched the wrong topic. And as a result of doing that, you wouldn't get any credit at all if you were not on task with the main thing, with the topic you've been given. And Christianity really is the same way. That it's not that there aren't a lot of people, a lot of us, me some days, doing really good things. You know, doing a lot of really great things, helping the hurting, attending worship services, you know, using the right spiritual Christianese lingo and all the stuff that we're supposed to do. But if we miss the cross, that's our assignment, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and remember the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we miss the work that Jesus did on the cross, we start wondering, why do I feel like I'm failing? Why do I feel like I'm powerless here? Why do I feel like I'm not getting any credit for what I'm doing? I'm not experiencing victory. I'm not experiencing power in my life or hope or authority. And that's because external observations without remembering the cross of Christ is just religion. If we don't have the cross, if we don't have the main thing, it's just religion. It's just ritual, even religion about Jesus. Paul recalled the historical reality of the cross, but he also said, you know, this is so central to who you are and to who I am that he said, I boast in this. I boast about this cross. To him, it wasn't just a symbol of his beliefs. It was really at the core of his existence, of who he was, which he talks about in Galatians 2:20. You can look that up. But Paul found his identity in the cross of Christ. It told him who he was, and it gave him hope. The second thing I'd like us to take away from that passage is that the cross provides power, which is the power of Christ. Electricity in our homes powers computers. It charges up your cell phone, your refrigerator, your TV, curling iron, whatever you guys might have. It powers a lot of things in your home. Well, if your electricity is cut off, if you're severed from the electricity, and the flow of power stops, you still possess those items. You still have them. They've been purchased for you, and they're yours. But if you don't stay connected to the electricity, they're not going to fulfill their purpose. They're not going to have the power that they need. When we forget Christ, when we think of the cross as something distant in the past, and don't let the power of what happened there speak into our life daily, it really cuts us off from a lot of the power source that God wants us to have in our daily lives. A lot of the flow of God's provision for us comes in our understanding the cross. And we basically disconnect our religion from the cross, and we get a feeling of lack of peace and a lack of hope and a lack of courage. In the church at Galatia, they were looking at their flesh to fulfill what the church was supposed to do instead of looking at Christ's power. In Galatians 3, it talks about that. They were focusing on the rituals. They were focusing on what they should do instead of what Christ had already done, instead of staying focused on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, which Galatians 6:12 tells us. The third point is that the cross provides a relationship, not a religion. The cross provides a relationship, not a religion. Which means that we need to be careful. Because if we're not careful, we can let religion replace that relationship very easily. The people that Paul was speaking about there in Galatians 6, he was talking about the circumcised. There was a group of people that they were known as Judaizers, which means those living according to Jewish customs. And these people, for some reason, liked to make trouble for Paul, and they would actually follow him around. He would go to a community to start a new church, and these Judaizers would follow him there. And they would encourage the new believers to be circumcised and to start following Jewish customs, even though they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews at all. And they were still attached to the religious rules of the Old Testament. And I just want to differentiate. The moral laws of the Old Testament are important, that we observe those and remember the moral laws. But the religious rituals, they were not bound by that. And yet these Judaizers were trying to get these New Testament Christians to abide by these Jewish rituals. And because of this, they were trying to really convince the new Christians to be mindful of external religion, of appearances on the outside, instead of really being transformed on the inside by the power of what Jesus had done on the cross for them. So we need to focus our relationship on Christ and not on religion, and focus specifically on what Christ did on the cross for us to save us. Whenever we allow religious activity to take over our life instead of staying focused on Jesus and focused on that sacrifice that he made on the cross, it interferes with our relationship with him. We fail to remember what it cost him to have this relationship and to value our relationship with him as we should. Religion really is anything that you feel that you need to do for God that does not stem out of a heart that's connected to him. That's not out of your heart. And religious activity, unfortunately, if it's not connected to your love and your passion for your Savior, it actually severs that connection to his power. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but you lose that intimacy with him. And he said, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. So we want to keep that intimacy, that connection to his strength and his power in our lives. Galatians 5 talks about that. And that's why it's so important when we serve the Lord, anything we do, that it be out of a heart of love and not just a sense of duty. You know, God wants everything that you do, your moral life that you try to live and your prayer time and your dedication to Him, everything you do to be based out of your relationship with Him, not out of just religion. So don't be defined by what you do, but be defined by knowing Jesus Christ and remembering what He did on the cross for you. The fourth point is that the cross provides a new worldview. It gives you a new way of looking at life when you think about the cross and what happened there, and you let yourself be spiritually crucified with Christ. Paul in that passage says there's two crucifixions. This is a tough part. Paul says there's the crucifixion of Jesus. That's the first crucifixion in 6:14. But he also says the world is crucified to me and I to the world. We are to be crucified with Christ. And the world that he's talking about there, I'm sure you know he's talking about the world system, the world of philosophy and the world with all its regulations and definitions and expectations and temptations and the whole world system. He's saying, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that now because of the cross of Christ. And even to religion. He's saying, you know, I'm dead to external religion. I'm alive in Christ. Because of what he did on the cross, I'm alive in Christ, and I'm dead to just following a set of rules any longer. Paul was crucified to all things belonging to this world, and that's what God wants for us. That's tough. That it really comes from surrender on a level that I think very few of us probably experience too often in our lives. God wants us to be aligned with Christ and to identify with his crucifixion. Being crucified with Christ, one of the beautiful things about it is it creates a disconnect from the power of the world. See, with our sinful nature, the world does have, with those temptations and things that it tries to draw us away with, it has a bit of power until we come to Christ to influence us for evil and to do the wrong thing. But when we are crucified with Christ, when we're attached to him and living in his power and the work that he did, it frees us from the power that the world has over us. Crucifixion involves no longer living a worldly life that doesn't acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ over everything. The fifth point is that the cross provides your identity. And because of that, we have to carry our cross every day. In Luke 14:27, it says, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, this is Jesus speaking, you cannot be my disciple. The Romans invented crucifixion. It was really a horrible form of execution. And the Romans, not only would they kill somebody, execute somebody through the cross, but they would humiliate them through the cross. They would take the beam of the cross and have the person carry it through the streets on parade to shame them, basically as a public confession that they were guilty of whatever they're being crucified for, that they're guilty of a crime. When Paul's talking about us carrying our cross, and when Jesus speaks of that, he's saying, carry the reproach of Christ in your life. That everybody needs to know you're guilty of being a Christian. Everybody needs to know, because you carry your cross every day and they see a difference in your life. They see that the world doesn't have power over you anymore and that you're walking in the power of Christ's crucifixion, that there's no way you're going to get out of it. You can't deny it. Everybody can see it. You're a Christian. You identify with Jesus. And that you're guilty of placing him first above everything else. The cross represents a moment-by-moment connection to Jesus Christ and an identification with him and to his purpose for your life, because you identify with his life and with his death and his burial and his resurrection. The cross is an acknowledgement that you are completely dependent upon the Lord, and that he is sufficient for you. And it's also a recognition of your own sin, that you have a need for salvation. Carrying your cross is dying to yourself in what you want and putting Jesus first above everything. Your identification with Christ in Galatians 6:15 tells us that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that's your victory. Remembering that at the cross you were not only forgiven of your sins because of Christ bearing your sins, but you received new life. You received a new identity. You are a new creation in Christ. And your victory in your daily life, your victory is tied to this. Your victory over the decisions that you have to make, over the emotions you struggle with, over relationship problems or finances or whatever it is, your victory is in Jesus Christ. It's in surrendering to the work that he did to purchase you and having your identity in him, and it frees you up from all the expectations you put on yourself or that the world would put on you, because he's paid it all for you. And you're not living according to fleshly desires or expectations of others. And the last point is that the cross provides peace and mercy. When we walk according to that rule of the cross that I mentioned, you know, if you've ever gone swimming, I've never done deep sea swimming. Has anybody done like snorkeling or whatever it's called? Okay, what's the air tank thing? Have you done that? That's it. Okay. Whatever that is, yeah. Yeah, if you've ever done that, I was reading about that, and I guess if you go down so far, the pressure is too great for a human body. We're not made to withstand a certain amount of pressure. So unless you have the gear to actually protect you against the pressure, and it'll kill you, you know, if you don't have that equipment. And basically in this world, as we walk in this world as Christians, the cross of Jesus Christ is that equipment for us. Then when we don't walk in the power of that, when we don't walk in that new identity that was purchased for us on the cross, we really allow ourselves to be set up to be overcome because we're not ready for what the world's going to dish out to us. So we need to remember that the cross is our equipment in this world. It's our GPS that keeps us focused on the Lord. When we remember the cross and what Jesus did there, the significance, we find our identity on it, in that. We find our reference point for our life is in the cross. And again, you know, I think, why are so many of us, including me some days, you know, struggling more than I should? And so many times those struggles are just in our head, you know, in our mind and in our hearts, and we feel overwhelmed. And I think when we do that, when I feel that way, when I recall what Jesus has done to purchase me and who I am in him, when I remember the cross of Jesus Christ, and I let that be the central thing in my thoughts and in my heart, the power of that pushes everything else out. And all those other things lose their grip on me to crush me. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." I think the temptation for me a lot of times is to pick up that cross, like he said, and then carry it for a little while, and then I set it down. And I'll pick it back up for a while, and then I'll set it down. And I'll pick it up for a while and set it down. But if you read that, you know, that's not what Jesus was saying. He's saying, listen, I want you to carry this. I want you to pick it up. And for the rest of your journey in this world, I want you to carry this. When we do that, we experience God's peace. We experience his mercy, because we're aligning our thinking with God's thinking. We're aligning our thoughts with the most significant thing that's happened in all of history, in the cross of Christ. And we function by that rule of the cross. When we make that the most preeminent thing in our life and our thoughts, it gives us peace. You know, we understand not only what Jesus has done, but because of that, who we are and where we're going. And that there's nothing the world can bring against us. There's nothing our own flesh can mess up bad enough. There's nothing the devil can do to separate us from God's love because of what happened on that cross. But guard against trusting in religious activity to earn God's favor. It results in a disconnect in our spirit. And it results in a feeling of powerlessness, which isn't true. I think that as we die to self, as Jesus talked about, as we understand, as Paul said, that the world is crucified to me and I to the world, that's when the Holy Spirit can really take over. That's really when the Spirit has free rein to move in power in our lives, to really change us and to work through us and to do things that'll just be far more than we even ask Him to do when we just surrender before the cross. I think that's all the Lord had for me to share with you tonight. So let's, before we have a closing worship song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. God, thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for the price that Jesus paid so that we could be forgiven. And more than that, Lord, so we could even know that we have eternal life, that we can have hope in this world and peace and power, Lord, that we know it doesn't make any sense to the rest of the world, Lord. We know that they look at the cross and they think it's foolish. But to us, it's the power of God that brought us salvation. God, I just pray, help me, help each of us to never let that wonder too far away from our thoughts. God, help us to keep the cross central to our lives, that in our hearts we carry it with us daily. We experience the freedom that that brings, Lord. Help us to know the power of your Spirit working in us, Lord, as we come before that cross and as we marvel at our Savior and our Lord. God, thank you for each person here. I pray, Lord, that with the words of the message tonight, God, any of it that was for my thinking, that wasn't what you wanted me to say, I just pray that'd be forgotten. But Lord, anything that was from you, especially your word, God, I just pray, help each of us to have that in our hearts and in our minds, to take it with us and to be changed for the rest of our lives because of it.